be as old as Jack someday. You need to go fly because, as you may have heard, time spent flying is not subtracted from your lifespan. Bye-bye.
And that's enough talking. Let's go flying.
13 years of this?
Yeah. Okay. After show. Anybody need a break?
No.
Okay. I actually have a list here. My list of possible episode titles. So there, the obvious ones are related to the birthday thing. We could be teenager or something like that. All right. Rule of thumb is a possibility. All right. But I think the one I may end up going with is equanimous.
I'm sure I did not pronounce that correctly.
Well, that's why it's a title. It's
killing me.
Equanimous. Not only did you not pronounce, I'm not convinced it's a word, right? The way you said it, you pronounce, I don't know how we can go back and ask the stenographer. We'll ask the court reporter to please read back.
Equanimous is what I was going for.
I don't know what word you were going for. What do you think you were going for?
Equanimity.
Yes.
Equanimity, maybe.
David, you're the... Well, no, both you guys are word guys.
Equanimous? I can't...
No, it doesn't ring a bell either. I think you were close, but I think you had one or too many syllables in there.
Yeah. And, equanimity.
That's closer, I think. Yeah.
Write it down in the send a message part of the cast page so I can see it, because I'm not seeing it.
Well, okay. I mean, who the heck knows how it's spelled? Jeb, you want to try and spell it?
Never mind. I thought you guys were looking at something.
Equanimous. Is that what I'm thinking here? Equanimous.
Yeah.
Equanimous. Sorry, because this is the closest spelling I can come up with right there.
Yeah. Oh, equanimous.
Is that really a word?
Yeah.
I suppose it's too bad we don't have a device. Copy. Firefox.
Yeah. I just put an extra syllable in there.
Equanimous. Equanimous. All right. Anyways.
Equanimous.
No. Equanimous. Oh, equanimous seems to be the pronunciation, doesn't it? Okay. Calm and composed. All right. I had a couple things I wanted to talk about. Where'd we go here? Alligator stories. Did you see?
Oh, man.
Man, there's been alligator stories lately, all right? Two came to mind that caught my attention. I didn't send them to you. There's one that shows this, like, Bambi. Have you seen this one? It's basically Bambi has snuck up to the edge of a muddy puddle. It looks like a puddle. It's apparently a pond. And is, like, very, very timidly sipping the water from the edge of the pond. And, like, boom, this big alligator comes, you know, just, like, shooting up out of the water, all right? And Bambi's got reflexes, all right? Because Bambi jumped, all right, and missed, well, the alligator missed. But, man, oh, man, this alligator came out of the water fast. And Bambi, you know, just like, this is why I was so tentative in the early days of visiting your homes in Florida, Jeb, because this is the image I always had, that if I was walking too close to your pond, all right, excuse me, your lake, all right, I would, just like out of nowhere, this thing would shoot out and grab my ankle, all right, and I was like, I'm staying far away from the edge of the water. Over the years, I've become a little bit more equanimous about it, but...
Jack, we keep telling you, meat tenderizer is not a good deodorant.
Yeah. No, I know. So, anyways. And then there's another alligator video floating around of the alligator climbing over a fence, a chain link fence.
I saw pictures of that. I saw stills of that.
Holy moly, this thing. And this is like not a short fence.
This was
like a
this was like at Tyndall Air Force Base or something. Was it really? Yeah.
Okay.
It's a chain link. Yeah, a steel chain link fence with steel posts, and it's at least 6-8 feet high. Then it's got barbed wire on the top of it.
Yeah.
And the schmuck alligators climbing over the thing. I mean, Come on.
See, you couldn't have said that during the episode. Schmuck alligator would have been a good title right there, right? Yeah, it's a crazy picture of this alligator just climbing over this chain link fence. It's, you know, I've always remembered the first time I ever saw, I was driving along a highway. This is not an alligator story. This is a, you know, kind of like deer or elk or something like that story. And I'm driving along with probably Wyoming or something like that, driving down the highway. And, of course, there's these fences on the interstate, you know, guarding the interstate from the wildlife, okay? And I'm driving along and I'm seeing these deer or whatever they were running along the outside of the fence. And I'm thinking, okay, well, there they are. And I'm on the highway and there's a fence between us, so that's good. And just as I'm thinking this, they just basically bounded over this fence. I mean, the fence just wasn't even there.
Right.
Right? They just, and this was like a 6-foot fence, right? And they just bounded over the fence. So apparently, yeah. Alligators can bound over a fence too. It was crazy. Yeah, David.
I'm not sure "bound" is the word I'd use for what the alligators do, but
for an alligator, this was bounding. You should have seen this guy. I would have had a hard time climbing over this fence. All right.
Have you ever seen the shoes that deer wear?
No.
Well, you won't.
I don't know. Is this a Dave Higdon pun? Is that what we're getting at here? What are you talking about?
No, but they can jump amazingly high. And yeah, they get a running start. Clark County Airport, my hometown in Indiana, after 9/11, and now all these airports are getting big fences that they probably had a fence before, but not as big. And fence wasn't keeping the deer out at Clark County, and not long after that it also wasn't keeping out the coyote. But the coyote came under the fence. The deer,
I've seen deer
over
go
the fence.
I've seen deer go under fences.
Yeah.
Under fences.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
It depends on the fence.
Right.
But
so the alligators, like, it gives me a whole new sense of, you know, like, paranoia when I'm visiting your house with this whole alligator situation, because
then my job here is complete.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Because between Bambi, you know, like, almost getting nabbed, and then this thing going over the fence, it's like, you know, crazy.
Yeah, okay. Going over the fence has a lot of different connotations.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of like equanimous.
Right.
Well, and you can help yourself a lot by, if you have an idea how big the alligator is that's floating in Chubb's pond at any given time, just stay 50% farther away from the water's edge than the alligator's on.
Yeah.
And you should be good. But a 357 wouldn't be inappropriate.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, but that would be a crime. We would never do that, right? But, yeah, okay. Not the gun part. The shooting alligators part is against the law, right? I mean,
it is against the law.
Yeah.
And I think I've said this before. I'll say it here. Whichever politician wants to get a statewide win in Florida, all they have to do is campaign on legalizing shooting alligators.
Alligators. Yeah, okay. That's interesting. All right, yeah. This next one, this could have almost made it into the episode, but it didn't quite make the cut. But I thought it was notable that, so this bar apparently Portland, probably Portland, Oregon, because anytime they say Portland, they always mean Portland, Oregon. So wanted an aviation motif, and so they went to a junkyard of some sort, all right, and found a wrecked Cessna 310, I believe it is. And they dragged it out of the junkyard, and they brought it to their restaurant, and they suspended it from the ceiling, all right? And then apparently, within days of them suspending it from the ceiling, the feds came calling. The Civil Air Patrol arrived.
The Civil Air Patrol?
Let's see now.
Or the Air Force?
Well, the story I'm looking at says Civil Air Patrol.
Really?
But that is the Air Force, right?
That's the Air Force Auxiliary.
Right, so, yeah.
Where are you seeing this? Where
the story,
you get this?
I put a link in the, if you refresh, I think it's, or no, it's in the notes down lower. If you want, I can send you, let me see if I can send
it.
No,
if it's in here, I'll find it.
It's in the lower unused part of the
Owners
notes
of a brewery, okay.
All right. Quiet Monday afternoon in February, only a few customers lingering over their beer. Da 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 da! When the Civil Air Patrol burst inside in search of a wrecked airplane, so they were
Go ahead.
So they were searching. So apparently, they had a locator beacon had gone off. All right, and they were trying to find this airplane that had crashed, all right? And they isolated it down to inside the bar, all right? And so they went inside this restaurant, all right, where they found the airplane hanging from the ceiling, where its 10 years old, you know, 10 years untouched locator beacon had apparently been triggered by the movement of, you know, dragging it from the wrecker's yard and hanging it and whatnot, all right? It's just, it seems like a, you know, reasonable, I mean, a good source, you know, the Willamette Week, it's a, you know, seems like a plausible story, real story, but it just seems crazy that this locator, that the battery would survive for 10 years is basically what must have happened here, right? And so they junked this airplane with the locator, you know, still in it, and and then the movement of it got it to go off. It's just like crazy, I think. I don't know.
Yeah.
And
stuff happens.
I guess so. I don't know. They, I would have thought, though, that you know, a standard checklist item when you're junking an airplane is to pull out the locator beacon.
I would have thought that, too.
You know,
maybe these guys weren't just, you know, aviation guys. Maybe they're just brewery guys.
Well, I'm sure the brewery part. No, I'm talking about when they first junked the airplane. I mean,
you know, with people that put it in the salvage yard to begin with.
Right. Yeah, I would have thought that they would have.
Well, it looks like they got the engines and the cowling, so you'd think that they would get all the stuff out of it.
I guess, obviously not, though,
but,
right?
So, you know, they would have gotten the landing gear, too. Who knows?
Yeah. Who knows? So I guess this means
It could have been something that, you know, someone in the bar decided, hey, let's play with this. Wonder what this does. And turned it on and didn't know what they were doing.
So, Dave, I think you need to go, when you go to the to one of your aviation, you know, pubs, their brew pubs, you need to take a handheld and tune in what is it? 120, I'm blanking on. What's
121.5.
121.5. All right, just to make sure that there aren't any beacons in the restaurant going off.
Well, Aeroplanes has been open now for, what, 3 or 4 years? And it doesn't have any whole fuselage parts like that. It's got a lot of wing parts and flaps and slats and struts that are used in
right.
it. But if there was an ELT active there, it would have shown up long ago. Mm-hmm. The CAP would have shown up long ago. What interests me is that the idea that a 121.5 ELT battery was still functional after 10 years.
Yeah,
because you know
exactly.
It had been in the airplane at least 2 years before that.
Right, right. Yeah, it's just like that's kind of amazing that... But I guess maybe under the right circumstances, a battery, you know, I don't know. I mean, and then didn't necessarily need to hold a full charge. It just needed to hold enough of a charge. And, yeah. So, I don't know. Maybe we should find out what brand that ELT is just to kind of like, this should be in their next commercial, you know.
Nah, we don't want to promote 121.5.
Well, but I mean, I'm guessing that they make modern ELTs or whatever they call
maybe.
Them.
Maybe. It intrigued me that the... what they went through to get this Canadian registered 310 all the way down from where it was in
the customs question must have been interesting because they dragged this thing across the national border in order to hang it in their so I don't know, maybe Canada was glad to see it be gone, I don't know, something like that, but,
and it got the 310 big 1958 model, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
got to the salvage yard after a guy with no Canadian pilot's license or insurance made a very hard landing and fled the scene. So
maybe I wonder if we ever talked about that. Maybe we should go back through the archive and see if we ever talked about this Canadian 310. You never know. We might have talked about it. We've talked about a lot of crazy things. I was listening to an old episode just as I'm changing the subject here. I was listening to an old episode the other day. I was listening to one of the very earliest Sun and Fun episodes we did from the deck. It was actually the first year that we were on the deck. It was the second year we did Sun and Fun as UCAP, and we had moved to the new location, and we were on that deck, and I think it was the Sunday, so it was the closing day episode, and I went into the crowd. I did my whole Phil Donahue thing, and I went into the crowd to talk to listeners who were there at the railing, okay? And I knew that one of those guests, those listeners that I talked to that day was the first time we ever met Dave Allen, all right? But what I didn't realize until I listened to it again recently is the other listener that I spoke to at the rail that day was Brad from Stuttgart. All right. That was Brad Marzari, Launchpad, all right, was a listener that we met at the railing at Sun and Fun way back when. So, you know, it's funny how time flies. I don't know how I came to that story. Last thing I wanted to ask about here, and I know maybe you guys have stuff you want to talk about now too, but Air Force One was up here in Manchester, New Hampshire last week. And I won't go into the whole subject of what its passenger was up to, because that way lies madness.
There be dragons.
Exactly. But the whole subject of Air Force One coming into your airspace is always kind of an interesting thing, you know. I have a story,
but go ahead.
Okay. There was a big, as you would expect, a big TFR, and it's probably this way all the time, but I don't see them very often, a big double-ringed TFR, if you will. It was a circle like about maybe 10 or 15 miles out from Manchester, and then another circle that was like 30 miles out. It actually almost reached here in Dover. I think the airport up in Rochester, just up the street, was like in a cutout, little half moon cutout of the TFR or something like that. So it was a big thing. At breakfast the other day, we were talking about this because Nashua was clearly affected by this TFR, and so they were talking about things. And one of the things they were talking about, you earlier, Jeb, was talking about people not, or maybe not in this episode, ADS-B exclusions or whatever you want to call it, right?
Hiccups.
Well, you're talking about hiccups, and then we've also in the past talked about the whole subject of you can get your end number blocked or something like that.
Yes.
ADS-B. And I think, how does that block work? That just blocks your number. You still show up as a target, though, right?
It depends on how you do it. But first of all, the normal blocking mechanisms are done at what I call the ASDI level, which is the feed that the FAA provides to vendors, to contractors. Aircraft situational display is what it's called. It's basically all the movements that are non-security related. And whether the FAA does it or the vendor does it at that level with the data stream, the target is either not included in the feed or simply comes up, the IN number comes up as with the word blocked.
Right. Yeah. Because according to, this was the conversation at breakfast the other morning, they were saying that Air Force One is invisible in ADS-B.
A lot of military flights are, and certainly Air Force One is.
Yeah.
I would think many other Air Force Two, Exec One, whatever, are also not sent out, shall we say, transmitted over the ASDI feed.
Yeah, so, I don't know. It was interesting. The whole subject of Air Force One coming in and what's your Air Force One story?
Oh, okay, Air Force One story. So, many listeners might know, you guys probably remember, I used to fly out of Andrews Air Force Base back in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And this was either through the Civil Air Patrol Squadron or by virtue of being a CAP member, I also got access to the Aero Club airplanes. And I don't remember which airplane I was in or where I was coming from, but it was a good VFR day, and I'm coming in from some trip, and one thing leads to another. I'm talking to the tower controller, and I'm on downwind, northbound. I'm downwind for a very wide downwind, I would add, for 19 right. So I'm out east of the field, tootling along at pattern altitude. Mm-hmm. And controller comes on and says, "Yeah, can you give me a 360 out there on downwind for me?" "Yeah, absolutely." So I hang a 360 to the right and start to roll out of that. And the controller says, "Hey, give me another one, please." "Yeah, okay." So I'll give him another 360 on downwind. And as I roll out of the second one, I look down and there's a 707 taxiing.
Mm-hmm.
And it taxis to the threshold of the runway I'm cleared to land on, or about to be cleared to land on, turns, doesn't even bother stopping, and just rolls straight out down runway 19 right and takes off. And as it took off, as it cleared the ground, I happened to get a better look at the side of the aircraft, and it was one of the 707, the VC-137Bs, Air Force Ones.
Right.
And Reagan was going somewhere.
Yeah.
And cleared to land, 19 right was the next. And I was like, you don't get to land after Air Force One takes off very often, very many places.
I wouldn't think so. And I'm sure, these days especially so.
Well,
yeah,
I'm sure that that procedure has changed. They wouldn't probably let me in the Delta or the Bravo,
right?
For that kind of thing,
right,
these days. But even back then, they have what was called quiet time,
mm-hmm,
where there might be when there's a movement like that, no other traffic on the airport moves. On the surface, anyway, they can't really, you know, they could have warned me off or sent me somewhere else or said, no, you can't enter the Delta right now or the Bravo or whatever it was back then. But they didn't. I'm sure those procedures have changed a lot since then.
I would imagine. I mean, if only because it's in the, you know, CFRA or that whole airspace now. But
yeah, yeah, and I'm not even sure that they still have Aero Club at Andrews or EGA operations. I just don't know.
Right. Anyways, okay. Anything else either of you want to talk about in the after show, or you think we're done? Sounds like we're done.
Fork.
Sounds like we're done. Okay, end of after show.
End of after show. Stick a fork in it.